Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm A-Lister Tremblay Burchell.
A-Lister.
And it's such a
You're
joy.
A bloody A-Lister.
A-Lister. A-Lister. And that means also somebody who is on the yes. top list, but it also means somebody who lists,
who lists
that is
things.
Something. Yeah.
That's great. I was thinking
maybe
you
even
should
everything.
Do, you should offer Alistair Lists Everything as sort of an ambient background performer for like a hotel lobby or something like that, or, you know, a gentleman's club, you know.
You see, I mean, I could do it at motivational conferences and just say motivational things.
That'd be great. If you're able
brand new Corvettes, looking in the mirror and seeing a winner, pockets full of cash.
Alistair.
Not bleeding from your eyes.
Whoa, that's a sign of a sure winner. Look at that bloke over there. He's got a certain je ne sais quoi. He's got something about him. I don't know if it's
that
charisma
Alistair
or about the
everything.
Fact that he's not bleeding from his eyes.
That Alistair lists everything guy sure has sold out to the motivational community.
But I think, you know, I think that's a sketch idea, Alistair, right?
Yeah.
Somebody whose job it is to go along to sales conferences, business powwows, networking things, and walk through the crowd or stand in a corner muttering important motivational business-themed things, like you were just saying then. And what it does is while people are chatting, if there's ever a lull in the conversation, there's still high-powered business words being said. So it keeps the momentum up. It keeps the vibe positive. You know, there's nothing worse than everybody's talking about, you know, all their investments and stuff, and then suddenly the room goes quiet and there's no one has anything to say. That's all you need.
I mean,
the
it'd
cosmic
be nice
background
also just to
radiation
have,
of conversation.
It'd be nice to have a guy who does just go around and compliments people, you know, in the way that they want to be complimented. You know, it's just like, wow, can I say you look powerful?
Why should
I just... Why does this not exist already?
Well, exactly, right, yeah. I mean, it should be a standard part of the service, I think, when you hire any kind of conference venue. They should just have a guy on staff. If they've got people who clean the toilets and people who hang up the decorations, they should also have a sort of a complimenter, somebody who's able to look people in the eye and very genuinely tell them that suit looks very good on them. You know, so that's an amazing color on you.
Yeah, because I guess most businesses have a greeter, but that's really where the politeness ends.
That's true.
And a lot of those shops that have a greeter, they've turned into somebody who checks your bags as you leave. So
it's true. It undermines it a little bit, doesn't it? They don't, and they never check your bags on the way in, do they? You could have a lot of stolen goods from a completely different shop in that bag.
That's right. Maybe a different Walmart. And
from
then,
a different
as
Walmart.
You're walking into this.
And that's not none of their business, right?
Yeah.
I stole these from a different Walmart.
This is. I know you stock these. That's why I steal here. But I didn't steal them from here. You can check the cameras. You've got nothing on me.
You've got no jurisdiction over this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they should check.
I don't think they can't prove it, so therefore they can't do it.
Mm. If you can't prove it, you can't doove it. That's
I have had my kid ask for proof that they've done something wrong.
Wow.
Prove it. Well, you don't have any proof.
And what did you do? Did you crumble?
Well, I mean, yeah, I probably started to yell or something like that. No, I don't know. I think
I didn't crumble.
Mean, obviously,
I was already crumbled.
Exactly. I am nothing but crumbs.
Mm.
You know, now it's mere erosion of the, you know, turning crumbs into smaller crumbs.
Yeah, what is, you know, if you're already like a gas is probably the most something can crumble, right? The point at which it's a gas. Mm.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of a gas crumbling. I mean, but how about this, Andy? You've heard of an apple crumble. What about an apple erosion, right? And so the crumble, the chunks aren't big enough to crumble.
Yeah.
It's essentially edible sand.
It's silt. Yeah.
It's like silt. And then the erosion part comes when you sit it down and it looks like you're cooling the pie.
Mm.
But you set it down in front of a running fan.
Yeah.
And then the sand starts to blow away. And so it gives you, there's urgency because you kind of want, you know, the crumble in an apple crumble or in an apple erosion really contrasts from the extra sweetness of the apples.
Softness, yeah.
Yeah, and the softness. And you kind of need it. And so it gives you incentive. It's like it's like a fast food. But it's made slowly. It's you've got to eat it fast.
It's an urgent food. I think that's that's the difference. It refers to the state in which you are supposed to eat it. You're also eating it on, I guess, a slowly rotating seat. So you will slide off onto the ground eventually. And
why? Because the seat's rotating. Is it rotating?
Oh, yes.
Like, is it rotating around a horizontal axis?
Correct, Alistair. Yes. I realize
I mean,
now
it'll do
how
more
that
than
was
slide
open
off,
to interpretation.
Be laying on the ground, and then the back of the chair will probably end up pushing you along the ground. But then at some point might scoop you back up. Maybe if your shirt gets caught on the back of this thing or something like that, could pull you up.
I think that there are at least two sketch ideas here, Alistair, if not three. We've got the first thing we said. Can't remember what that is now.
Sketch ideas.
The second thing we said, that was good too. And now this one about the erosion, the apple erosion.
Well, yeah. Okay, so there was things before apple erosion.
Have you not written anything down yet?
No, Andy. I've written down apple erosion, but then I've written down the urgent food.
Mm.
You know, eat it before it disappears from the fan. But that's, you know, it's hardly a sketch, but it's almost something.
But okay.
We've got the idea of the urgent food, which is a contrast to fast food.
But did you write down about the person who gives compliments at business events and the people who check your bags on the way in case you've shoplisted from somewhere else?
Okay, I've written down the guy at the business thing.
Yep.
But not the person who checks your. We're checking bags on the way in now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would more be the case of they check your bag on the way out and they find stolen goods in there, and you berate them. You say that I'd stolen those before I came here. You know that they should have checked the bags on the way in. It's not really the presence of stolen bags, goods that you're checking for in my bag, is it? You're checking for a change in the number of stolen goods in my bag. You need to calibrate with a baseline. This is standard, you know, scientific procedure. We're entirely concerned with differentials.
Can I say, your double role as a greeter / bag checker, it really adds up to a net negative of a kind act.
Yeah. It really does, doesn't it? Like the hello or the nod of acknowledgement as you come in, is more than cancelled yeah. out by the show me your bags, prove to yeah. me you didn't steal from stealing. Us.
Show me you haven't stolen, because I know what's in your nature.
Oh, it's in all your natures.
That's right. Has nature ever stolen anything from you, Andy?
Nature. Let's see here.
Suppose maybe one of your grandparents?
Yeah, suppose natural causes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're right.
But you know,
nature.
But I
did
guess
that.
Your grandfather did used to steal from nature quite a bit, eh? Mm. If we think to the to the echidna holocaust that he has caused.
Ah, so it's fair. It's a fair call. Tit for tat.
Nice. It's nice to have, you know. It's like I realize we haven't had a recurring gag on here for a while.
Mm.
But the slow, and it's probably not just happened over this podcast. I think people would have to followed us on every podcast in order to see the actual escalation of this joke. But for me, it's been funny anyway.
I mean, I have said this before once on this podcast, I believe, but I think it is amazing that we have so few running gags on this podcast, that we have been doing this thing for this long and haven't managed to come up with a single joke worth repeating. I mean, you could frame that in a positive way. You could say, oh, well, it's because they're creative and they don't need to lean back on,
that's
you know,
right.
repetitive gags. But I think that's not entirely true. I think if we were to lean back on any of these gags, they, like the seat that Mark Latham was sitting on at that conference, that right-wing conference he was at, would fall backwards and make us fall off the back of the stage. I don't think we can lean back on anything.
Sure. I have been thinking about doing that thing from the 400th episode as a bit of stand-up, about the horse-powered airplanes.
I don't recall.
You don't remember that?
No.
Well, I think maybe I was thinking it's like, you know, it probably is a good idea that, you know, like, it probably is a good concept that ADHD is such a common thing in the world. Because really, don't you think it would be bad if... Have you heard people's ideas? Wouldn't you think it would be bad if every person who had an idea went and, like, just stuck to it and did it? Most of the ideas that have been done have been the cause of the destruction of the world. Yeah. Now, that being said, here's what my idea is, right? Horse-powered airplanes. I mean, think about it. Horses—they're a renewable resource, right? Mm. So that's great. And not just renewable, but every time they're renewed, at least once every time they're renewed, a horse gets an orgasm. You know, so that's nice. So it's not just that; it brings positivity into the world, right? And the only difficult thing about it is trying to hide from the people that were burning the horses.
Yeah, it's really good. Shoveling horses into the furnace.
That's the only difficult thing.
Yeah.
But apart from grandfathers, what has nature taken anything from you? Have you ever...
Let's see. What, my son ever, fell into a lake and his gumboots came off and sank to the bottom of the lake. Into Davy Jones's footlocker, I suppose, you could say.
Oh my gosh, that's like the necklace at the end of the Titanic.
Yeah. Imagine
Do you think that somebody will have an expedition down to the bottom of it and see if he can retrieve the boots?
I think as soon as James Cameron gets so much as a whiff of this, I mean, they were blue boots as well. He loves blue things. We know that as well from the Avatar movies. This is basically ticking all his boxes.
Because what was the name of the Titanic gem, the necklace called?
The heart of the ocean.
Some
heart
yes.
of the sea.
Yeah, the heart. Yeah, the heart of the ocean. I thought it was something, but I thought it had another name. The something de la mer, which I guess would be le coeur de la mer.
I think that's probably
it's
it.
Probably. Well, there you go.
Now that you mention it, that is what we called my son's gumboots.
Yeah, the heart of the sea or the feet of the sea?
Yes.
The gumboots of the sea.
The gumboots of the lake.
They don't make a sort of a rubber part of the body to cover the rest of it. Oh, I guess they do the raincoat. God, this was a bad observation.
Oh. Rubber gloves.
I think the problem.
There's any part of the body we haven't covered with rubber. Experimented with covering with rubber.
The gumboot though is
maybe
a little bit
balls?
Interesting because, hey,
the balls. Maybe not
the balls. The balls. but like I think the gumboot is odd in that by being a rubber boot, right?
Mm.
It does make itself like an upside down umbrella. And
it's
so
true.
It is whilst both capable of protecting from liquid getting on the feet, it is also capable of carrying and storing liquid and
once
carrying it with you.
It's in there. And it is open to the top, as you point out, so that's where the rain, that is indeed where the rain comes from. It's very much like the Singapore in World War II of clothes items, where it's protected from the sea, but entirely vulnerable to having Japanese people ride into it from the north. And I often have the same problem
sure.
with my gumboots.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as soon as you're able to, the sea, you know, the enemy is able to reach you.
Mm.
And in this case, the sea is the enemy.
Yes.
You know?
It's proven to be.
I guess, and if the Japanese had come by boat, it was the very sea that was keeping them, you know, at the same level as you. That would be the very thing that was protecting you was helping keep these Japanese people buoyant.
Mm. But they didn't. They didn't come from that direction.
No, but I'm saying if they had, I'm just,
sure.
I'm thinking about writing.
It's a speculative alternative history.
I'm thinking about writing my own version of Inglourious Basterds, but it's about the Singapore thing. And instead of sort of killing Hitler at the end, the Japanese arrived by boat.
At the end. Okay, great.
At the end. So the rest of the movie will just be them setting up.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, oh, well, this will be fine. We'll be able to ride this out.
And then it is. Alistair, what about this? Titanic on a bus, right? It's the movie Titanic. Because they did
the
Speed.
Boat, the Titanic.
They did Speed.
Oh,
right?
And the second one they did on a boat.
They said it on a boat. Now with Titanic, they've been looking for
Titanic
a way
two.
To do a sequel to that.
Do
it on
a
bus.
And so it's the unsinkable bus.
Yeah. I think that in order for the parallels to work, there would have to be little life cars that they have hanging off the side of the bus for people to try and get into when the bus is about to crash or has just crashed. They try to get everybody onto those little cars. Maybe they're in the middle of a big freeway with lots of other cars rushing past. And your chances of getting run over are very high unless you can get into another little car.
Do you think there would be little go busts?
I'm sorry?
Do you think there'd be little go busts? You know, the. So, because like a go kart is like a small car.
Okay.
Right? And so a go bust.
Well, hang on. Why is there a T in
bus.
There?
Well, because at the end of cart. There's a go kart, right? But it's a small car, so you keep the word car in there.
Oh my god!
You remove car, you put in bus.
Oh
go
my
bust.
God! You're completely correct, Alistair, and I'm so ashamed that I didn't get on board with this as soon as you
how
said the word.
Illogical your questioning was.
Disgraceful. Yeah, I think they have little go busts.
Yeah.
Everybody onto a go bust, and
women and children first. Oh no, but it should be men.
Yes.
And animals first. Because it's on land, so it's a different set of rules.
Different set of rules, great. I think instead of the band playing, there should be a guy who's just sort of got a guitar and he's walking up and down the aisle of the bus. And
I don't think we're acknowledging how funny it would be for men and animals to get to go on the lifeboats first.
I'm sorry, Alistair. Let's take a moment and acknowledge. Let's bow our heads for a minute's silence. Or better still, a minute's laughter.
I mean, to think about this, we're picturing like mothers with small babies carrying in their arms as they watch a Labrador into like a, you know, like this could be a, it could be a, like a boat, it could be, you know, a small, you know, a safety thing.
Of course.
Any situation. The fire department is helping people out of a burning building, and they're the guys handing like cages of birds and a sort of a terrarium of rats.
Mm. Now, does one of the rich, selfish women on the bus? Does she try and disguise herself as, say, a box of ferrets or something like that in order to sneak onto one of the go-busts?
Yes. Bethany Zane.
Bethany Zane.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of course it will.
That's the name of the actor. That's the name of the actor. Is Bethany Zane. Yes. I don't know what the character's called, but we've come up with some great names for the actors.
Speculative casting, right? You somebody who is a casting director who casts people who don't exist yet. And then he sends people out to make them and then raise them into these people.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
So, like, because, you know, what's his name was really praised for making that movie that took 20 years to film with a kid growing up and things like that.
Richard Linklater.
Linklater, yeah. And then a lot of us, you know, are going to have trouble one-upping him, which is what we all obviously want to do. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go further back and we have to ask for two people to have sex with each other and then raise a kid in a particular way. Maybe either feed him a lot or feed him very little. you know, so he has a particular body shape that you want as a very small kid.
Expose and you have about 10 sets of people doing this. A series of influences in their early life.
Or maybe we could, this is, you know, me planning a kind of a hyper-realistic new Rugrats film.
That's great.
You know, I know a live-action Rugrats film. And I want very specific kids that look a lot like the characters in the cartoons. And I want them to talk at that age as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is the next frontier, I think. And I don't think we call them casting directors at that point. I think we call them casting gods. Because they are, casting gods. You know, you might find yourself saying, I want an actor for this role who sort of looks like a cross between, let's see, Aubrey Plaza and Harold from Neighbours, right? And then the only way to achieve that is to convince the two of them to make love and bear a child.
And that's right. What a beautiful child that would be.
What a beautiful child. And I think that is absolutely the next frontier. They are giving out Oscars for casting now, so it's going to become a much more competitive field.
And that's right. Yeah, I mean, they're going to start putting better and better people into films, don't you think?
Finally. Yeah. Yeah, finally there'll be some incentive.
I mean, I wonder if they'll ever be able to find an even higher caliber, you know, star. Do you think the ones that they have now?
Mm.
You know, like, what do you think of this generation of, like, the Chalamets and the Zidanias or the Zidanias?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're pretty good. But it'll be like a basketball scouting. I think you'll have people going to, you know, new countries and continents looking for... I mean, it's easy with basketball because you can sort of just look for really tall people, I think. Yeah. But here you need to look for really compelling people. It'll be we'll make a movie called White Men Can't Act, and we'll go to go to Africa and watch some Amdram productions of sound. Yeah, well, music.
I
mean,
I think if you're thinking of that movie with Emilio Estevez where he goes to Africa and he gets a guy, but I don't think that's White Men Can't Jump. I think it's a different one.
Really? Have I combined two? Oh, that's The Air Up There. Am I thinking of The Air Up There?
The Air Up There. I'm thinking of The Air Up There. That's right.
It's very wrong of me. No, was it Woody Harrelson was in White Men Can't Jump?
Yes. Mm. And then they made a new one recently.
All right. Well, then what's going to be...
Jack Harlow.
What's going to be the pun name of the movie The Air Up There, but now it's about acting ability?
Yes, so
the flare
it could be the flare down there because maybe they go somewhere very low altitude.
I don't think it was the high altitude in Africa that they were.
Well, I think it might have been partially that.
Really,
I think it was a play on. You know,
really,
on maybe both.
It's incredible.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you may be right.
I mean, there are some quite mountainous regions. I think that's why, like, Ethiopia and stuff like that are famous for having their runners that can run it.
Yes.
I think, is Ethiopia high?
I don't know that it is. I don't know that it's a mountainous region.
Okay, Ethiopia is part of Eastern Africa with a varied geographical landscape ranging from very low altitudes.
Oh, dear, it's not looking good for you.
The Afar Triangle, 1,000 meters below sea level, that is quite low, to high altitudes in the Simien Mountains, the highest peak in Ethiopia, and fourth in Africa in the Amhara region.
Did you say 1,000 meters below sea level?
Yeah.
That can't be right. 4,550
meters above sea level.
But did you... No, check again. 1,000 meters below sea level.
Yeah. I remember hearing about places like that, like in Israel, where people say that you don't have to wear sunscreen because there's just so much more atmosphere.
Wow.
But it actually doesn't feel like it would be that much more compared to how much the sun already had to go through.
The sun has had to go through so much. Man. I think about the sun.
Oh, but I guess it is denser, though. So it would be different.
Alistair, how are we going for sketch comedy ideas?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Andy. You won't believe it. And today we got to try and do a short episode, right?
We do. Yeah, we got to get out of here.
So we have 3 words from a listener, Andy. You're not going to believe this. 3 words
from a listener.
And this listener is Jim Little.
Jim Little.
Oh, hi, Jim Little. Thanks for sending in your 3 words.
Thank you so much, Jim Little. I think this might be your first appearance in this role.
It is Jim Little's first appearance. Yeah.
Jim,
and
welcome.
Jim Little has sent in 3 words from a listener. And I think it's from the listener, Jim Little.
Yep. Do you want me to guess them?
Oh, if you could, Andy, that would be so great.
Okay, the first word is upside down. It's hyphenated.
Oh, Andy. No, but you did get the I in there. And a D, actually. But everything else, not me. The first word is midnight.
Midnight. Okay. Snack. Midnight snack. Let's say midnight snack.
Oh, Andy, you've done well by being in the food realm. So, I mean, I could give you sort of like a hundredth of a point for that. But the word is more specific than that. And you probably wouldn't have this as a snack. It's more of a meal.
Okay.
You know, it is a burrito.
Midnight burrito. bus? Midnight burrito bus?
No, Andy, you're confusing the earlier Titanic idea that we had with this last word, which is detective.
Midnight burrito detective. It's a really good idea. I'd like to see a detective who, you know, you see
who's
a lot of detectives
wrapped up in like a sleeping bag.
You see a lot of detectives who have got a drinking problem, but you don't see many of them who have a crippling addiction
to
burritos or a sleeping problem. I think they're probably in some with a sleeping problem. Insomnia, it feels like it's a nice
but what about
clean
the other way?
Condition.
One who falls asleep everywhere.
Narcoleptic.
Narcoleptic.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, the narcoleptic. What are those police ones that do drugs?
Narcotics.
Cops. Narcoleptic. Narcotic cop.
Narcoleptic narc. He puts the narc.
Oh, yeah.
Into
the narcoleptic narco.
Yes. It's a good idea. So he's always just about to arrest the bad guy, and then he falls asleep every time.
And as he's... Yes. and that would be hard because it would make him more inclined to want to try the drugs that he's confiscating.
To keep him awake? Do you think they're uppers?
I mean, there's a chance. Some of them are downers, but, you know, it could be like his Popeye's spinach.
Mm.
You know, as soon as he has an upper,
yes,
he's very awake.
Wow. What an amazing flight of fancy. I can imagine people being intrigued to see what that's like.
Well, I guess for him, it's not being unconscious is the real thing, is the real achievement for him.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, that's impressive.
I don't know why that would make him the best in the business. But I don't think, I mean, what about another kind of detective?
I did have an idea. I don't know if I ever told you this idea, right? But it was for a detective who couldn't sleep, right? He had insomnia. So this was, he can't sleep. Right, but he's actually, it turns out, he's a sleep vampire. Okay, and when he touches people who are sleeping, he steals some of their sleep, but he also has their dreams. Okay, so he can't sleep at all, but then he'll have their dreams, and so it's sort of a cross between
his eyes?
Medium and House or something like that, where he's trying to solve crimes and he uses these dream clues to piece together the mystery.
Oh, yeah. So he gets a bunch of random images from a person that mean nothing.
Well, no, they mean something. They mean something.
Oh.
He's trying to piece together the imagery. There's always a cryptic level layer of meaning in there. And that's how he's such a good detective. Because he's interpreting the dreams. I mean, the tricky part is he has to sort of come into physical contact with the suspect or some of the key witnesses while they're sleeping.
While they're sleeping.
In order to get their
And he
dream
has to touch
power.
Them, which might wake them.
Yes, and would look bad for him if he does wake them.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that looking bad. I mean, there could be another idea like this where it's a detective who isn't able to eat burritos because he has, particularly ones though with the wheat tortilla because of the, a gluten intolerance.
Sure.
But he can touch people while they're sleeping, and if they've eaten a burrito, he can get that burrito's energy.
Oh, Yeah, okay.
So he spends a lot of time at like, at sort of, maybe he, you know, I mean, look, it wouldn't be crazy if he was, you know, hanging out around siesta time in sort of like very touristy parts of Mexico.
Yes.
And and touching a lot of sleeping expats.
It's great. And he's a detective. And he uses all that energy that he gets to solve crimes in this otherwise idyllic border town.
You know what? I have never seen a kind of like detective-y type thing set in a hostel.
Yeah.
You know, like things would go missing in a hostel.
Mm.
And there's like, you know, there's always like some recurring people, you know, who kind of are more long-term stayers there. They've decided to just remain living in this kind of public thing, but they've kind of got like they're in one of the dorms that's a bit, you know, for longer-term people.
Yep.
And then there's the people who just come in and come out. There's some people who are there for a couple of months. There's some, you know, and then there's the people who work there who have to do the cleaning, but also solve problems.
I think it's a great idea.
It's the hostel.
Yes.
Detective. And then he could be eating a burrito.
Yeah, great idea. I was thinking about a detective who will, you know, you might often, after a big night out, eat a burrito or something on the way home. Is it that kind of a thing? It's more of a kebab usually, isn't it, than a burrito.
I've just realized I actually need to leave. I need to leave. Yeah.
Wow. Well, people will never know how good that idea was going to be.
Andy, you just finish it.
I don't know how good it was either because I hadn't formulated it properly. But like the idea that like you come back after a big night out and you've got half a burrito, and he's a detective who will somehow investigate your previous night of activities based on this burrito clue. It's nothing, Alistair. Quick, take us through the sketch ideas very quickly.
It's a guy who goes to business powwows and mutters motivational words and compliments. Mm. And we got apple erosion, the the urgent food, in contrast to a fast food. You eat it before it disappears from the fan blowing. Mm. Anyway, it's stupid. Person who checks bags on the way in. No, I stole those from another Walmart. That's somebody saying that. Titanic 2, the unsinkable bus. I didn't write down just the... okay, we got casting gods for realistic new Rugrats film. But then I've got men and animals first. rescue.
Crucial detail.
Oh. Then we got sleep vampire detective. We got burrito vampire detective. And then I feel bad about writing this down, but the hostel detective, which is not really a sketch idea. I just said something and then Andy went, oh yeah, that could be something.
And that's a perfect interaction as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your attention during this
attention
period podcast. Of time. Alistair needs to go, so I'm not going to fuff about. All I want to say
please,
is...
But you guys can get, Henry and Rita.
Gustavo and Rita. Gustav and Henry from the Gustav. Link in the show notes from from Pete and my shop. We're sending out orders. We're already getting orders. We're sending them out.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Sending out GNC. I got to go, Andy. I don't have time for this kind of stuff.
This kind of stuff. How would you describe this kind of stuff?
Oh, kerfuffle, this kind of bullshit. I got to go, Andy. See you later.
And we love you. Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.